Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise be to God. Is God good? All the time. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Lord, fill us, refresh us, kill us, and send us. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 32, please? Psalm 32. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 32. It's just for you. Psalm 32. Would you read it with me? Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Now remember, the transgression is the act of sin. Because sin means presence of evil. The transgression is the act of the presence of evil. In other words, you acted because you listened to the presence of evil. Amen? Transgression is the act of sin. It says, blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven. So the act is forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That is, who does not impute a curse. A what? A curse. And whose spirit there is no deceit, or what we call deception. Is everybody okay? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin. In other words, I acknowledged the evil. I acknowledged the presence of evil to you. And my iniquity that I curse, I have not hidden. In other words, I expressed this curse. Because when you commit the act, you bring a self-imposed curse. I said I will confess my transgressions, which is the what? The acts of sin, to the Lord. So I'm going to confess my acts. And you forgave the iniquity. In other words, you forgave the curse. You removed the curse because I repented of the acts that I did. And I broke the curse off. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall what? Pray to you in a time when you may be found, surely in the flood of a great waters, which is the flood of the enemy, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. Or what he's saying is, once you've repented and broke the curse off, the reaping stops. So now what you have to do is you only reap to the period of the time you repented. Does everybody got it? Instead of continually reaping. You shall surround me with what? Songs of what? With deliverance. Songs of deliverance, so that we are delivered from the presence of evil, from the transgressions, from the iniquities, those curses that we bring upon ourselves. So he has given us songs. Didn't we just hear what the Spirit was saying? He has released what? Songs of deliverance. I will what? Instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. In other words, he's going to teach you. You're going to learn, but you can't learn without the presence of God. That's why he releases songs of deliverance. So you can remove the presence of evil in your life. And I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no what? Understanding. Which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy is associated that when you cry out to God, he considers you. So when you say, have mercy upon me, Lord, what you're saying is, Lord, please consider me. And when he considers you, he releases grace, which is a plan of escape. So it says, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is such a powerful prayer, and I said a prayer, because it is a prayer that God forgives. He is saying, Lord, forgive me. How many of y'all made a mistake? If you didn't raise your hand, you just made another one. You know, we've all blown it, haven't we? One way or another. But I'm telling you, God forgives if you follow the pattern of forgiveness. It's called repent. Turn from it. Get the songs of deliverance so he can deliver you. Break the curse off. Get free. Amen? So in this is all, in other words, forgiveness is not manifested until there's a repentance, which means to turn. So that means, he said, when I confessed my sins or my transgressions, my iniquities, when I confess that I associated with the presence of evil, when I confess that I acted upon the presence of evil, when I confess that I brought a curse on myself and my family line, when I confess these things and broke it and commanded those spirits to leave, you forgave me. You forgave me because I confessed it. So doesn't it take humbling to confess? In other words, when we're out and we've done something wrong, we begin to justify everything. We begin to reason. We begin to justify why we did what we did and why we should have and so forth and how and whatever. What we begin to do is justify what the enemy is doing. He's infiltrated so that you reap more. Because the longer he prevents you from coming to repentance, the more you reap. Hello. And then he says, I release to you a song of deliverance. Why? Because singing to the Lord causes you to sow in the Spirit so you can outrun some of the reaping, do you? Because he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the Spirit reaps peace and life. So the Lord releases the songs of deliverance. Why? Because the deliverance is going to cause you to sow in the Spirit by singing the words that come up, by praising and worshiping the Lord. You are now sowing in the Spirit because the word Spirit also means breath. Now you're beginning to sow more in the Spirit. You're not sowing in the flesh, so you're emptying the bank of destruction that is due us. So one of the things that the devil always wants you to do is to stay out of worshiping God. Amen? Because if he can keep you out of worshiping God, he can keep you in bondage and deception. He can keep you in the area ensnared, saying, giving you the compromising excuse, giving you the reasons, giving you all the other things that keep us from God's presence. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, glory. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. In verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying what? Repent. Now, repent means to turn away from what you're doing. Amen? When you repent, when you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus is activated. And then the Spirit is accessed. So he says, listen, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. And, you know, the world and the body are in the wilderness. Does everybody understand that? We're all in the wilderness right now. And you and I are now the voice. The voice is the body of Christ that's crying out, saying, repent, prepare the way of the return of the Lord. That's what's happening right now. Prepare the way for the return of the Lord. So he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand because he is coming. So everybody got it? Go to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let's read it. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And what does repent mean? Turn away. Amen. Turn away. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Remission of sin, for the removal of the presence of evil. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And verse 42, look at what happened. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now that's powerful, because once that repentance, once he says, okay, now you've turned away. Okay, I've washed you with the blood. Now here's what I want you to continue to do. Stay in my doctrine and stay in my fellowship. Stay in my doctrine and stay in my fellowship. Does everybody got it? Glory. So he said, repent. Get empowered with the Holy Spirit to overcome this perverse generation. Follow the doctrine of Christ and maintain fellowship. And Acts 17. Acts 17. You know, if you've ever noticed that the more you talk about Jesus, the more his presence is there. Because he says, when two or more are gathered together in my name, he's in the midst. So, man, you could be talking about Jesus, and man, you just feel his presence. It's like, man, let's just get, believe me, we used to talk all night. My neighbors, we used to have Bible studies on our street. And my neighbors used to, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, hey, get out of here, will you? You know, we'd be praising and God out in the street, and they'd have a fit. Finally, they moved out. And we took the house. Praise God. But man, we just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. We'd have a Bible study, and it started at 7 o'clock. It didn't end until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd bring their kids. They'd fall asleep in the living room. Would have to put the kids in the car. I'm telling you, that's how it is when we started in this ministry. We everybody broke bread in the morning. It smelled like garlic for 2 days. Not only demons stayed away, so did people. Hallelujah. In Acts 17, 29, verse 29. Praise God. Is everybody there? Therefore, since we are the what? Offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Surely these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent, turn from their ways. Because he has appointed a day on which he will what? Judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Peter departed from among them. Now, this is just powerful because in this, it says he commands all men to repent because the judgment of God is at hand. And I'm going to share something with you. The judgment of God is at hand. It's not coming. It's already now. It's already happening. It's already now. It's already at hand. Why? Because judgment always comes before wrath. And he says that he's going to judge the house of God first. So judgment has already been in the house of God. That's why you're finding things begin to happen. That's why you're finding pastors fall. That's why you're finding all kinds of people doing all kinds of stuff in the body of Christ. Because God is shaking the body. He said, "I am coming for a blemish-free bride. And it is time to get our houses in order." Amen? So judgment is already here. We're already being judged. God is already judging his people. It's constantly. It's constantly. And he's getting, again, the judgment is chastening for me and you. As he's judging me and you, he's chasing us. He's correcting us. He's spanking us. He's saying, "Come on, wake up. Come on, get this right. Come on, get this. Do this. Do that. Has everybody got it? Come on, get rid of that. Come on, wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm coming soon. Wake up." You know, one night I had a dream. And in this dream, I was driving about a 55, 56 convertible Oldsmobile. And I was cruising. And man, it was sweet. And people were in the car. I didn't look to see who was in the car in the back seat. And we were just, "Hallelujah, praise God. Yes, this is awesome." And it was a white one with red interior. Oh, sweet. And I got to a college. And this may sound strange, but I picked the car up like Fred Flintstone. And I went down the hill and dropped the car down where all the college students were eating lunch outside. And they had these big silver stainless steel tables. And they're all eating lunch out there. And I got out of the car and I started going around. And I started grabbing them. I said, "Wake up. He's coming soon. Wake up." And I was going up to them. I was serious. And I was walking all over grabbing these all of these students telling, "Wake up, come on, he's coming soon, he's coming soon." And I was hearing, yeah, and the people who were in the car were some of my dead relatives. And they were rooting me on. And then I got on my knees and I began to cry out, "Father, show them, awaken them, because you're coming soon." And I woke up. We're there. The things that are happening now, there's judgment now. Judgment now. That's why you're hearing all these earthquakes. That's why all these storms. That's why all of these things are going on. Again, I'm going to share this with you again. The reason why these two hurricanes passed us by Florida is because Florida rejected same-sex marriage, but every other state along the East Coast that accepted same-sex marriage got hit by the hurricane. Because my dad is judging. One of the judgments is the collapse of the economy. Hello. It's one of the collapse of the economy. You know, people wonder why the two towers went down. That was the beginning. There was warnings, warnings, warnings. The two trade towers. What did the trade towers represent? International trade of money. Because the United States had turned its back on God and began to worship money. Hallelujah. Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. Is everybody okay? all glory. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. Let's read it. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. What he's saying is, I want you to get revelation from me. I want you to buy from me. You need to get revelation from me. That you may be rich. Rich in what? Rich in Christ. And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and that you anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what? See. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Powerful. And what's happened in the body right now is people have become lukewarm. That's why there's a shaking. They're not, in other words, they're not about kingdom business. They're about self business. They're not about kingdom business. Or they've lost from walking from kingdom business into self business. He says, repent, turn from the evilness, the wicked ways, the things that I've told you not to do, and come and buy revelation from me, that there may be an impartation. See, so the revelations, so that the restraints of righteousness will restrain us from doing the things that are displeasing to God. So the restraints of righteousness will be activated. And so that we won't do those things that displease God, and so that we'll be able to see and we'll be able to hear what the Spirit says. Now, again, I want to share with you that something even in the repentance area, you know, and what is the Spirit really saying? What he's asking me to, you and I to do right now, and this is going everywhere, he's saying, I want to hear you say yes, and I want to see you do it. I want to hear you say yes, and I want to see you do it. Has everybody got it? This is what the whole thing is happening right now. It's the yes and do. It's the what? Yes and do. Is everybody okay? Go to Acts 9. So we're to repent and say, yes, Lord, and do it. Acts chapter 9. In other words, what you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. Acts chapter 9. It's the yes and do. Sounds like a recipe. Yes and do. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats. Is threats a sin? Yes. And murder. Is murder a sin? Hello? Against the what? Disciples of the Lord. went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, and it's not in here, children also, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. In other words, so that they could be killed. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. It's what you call revelation. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He knew only God could do this. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. In other words, you're my Lord. You got me. So what he said was, yes. Lord, what do you want me to do? So everybody got it. So he was a yes and a do. So everybody got this. He said, okay, Lord, I'm here. Yes, whatever you say, Lord, whatever you want. Just tell me what to do. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. See, now some people sit there and argue with God. Well, tell me what to do now. No, man, what do you mean go in the city? Why do I need to go in the city? Why can't you just tell me what I'm going to do when I get there, before I get there? Because that's not how God operates. Because by the time you got to the city, you already would have altered what you're supposed to do when you got there. Daddy does not operate on a need-to-know basis. He operates on a trust basis. You say yes and do. When you complete that, he tells you the next thing. He doesn't tell you until you complete what you've done already. See, and when you've done it already, then he releases the promise. People that see things all the way and all kinds of stuff and whatever, well, they got the whole blueprint of everything that's going on. Until they've already started completing certain things. And in God. Does everybody got it? See, the devil always wants to advance you from the start to the finish without the process. Does everybody got it? Why? Because he keeps you so busy, you miss God. Is everybody okay? Because that's not a, you know, and we, that's not a yes and do. It's a yes, oh yeah, I'm going to do it all. Is everybody with me? God always gives you a measure to complete before he gives you the rest. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's up tomorrow. He's only given me to show up here tonight. Hello. Now, there may be certain things that are coming up tomorrow, but he has a right to alter everything for tomorrow. If I start setting my plan in order and not his, I can become successful in the wrong assignment. And if I'm about my business instead of his business, I'm out of order. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Arise and go. He said, yes and do. That's all. He didn't ask anything more. Okay, what do I do when I get there? No, he just said, okay, I'm going to do it. In Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And all things, prayer and supplication, and a multitude of counsel, their safety and wisdom. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Would you read it with me? Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Wow. So everybody got it. It's Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. Make your yeses yes, and your what? Noes, no. Make it clear. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he said, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Salvius, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, if he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers of your joy, for by faith you stand. So he was making it clear, making your yes as yes and your no's no. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Yes and do. That's a strange title for teaching. But you can put, yes, I'll do. However you want to title it, it's up to you. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's do it. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be what? Doers of the word, and not someone who just says yes. Hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a yeser of the word and not a doer, hello, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, he says yes, and he does it. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. In this, be a doer and not just a hearer or someone that says yes. Does everybody understand that? But say yes and do. But say what? Yes and do. If you say yes and don't do, you're one who puts it off. You're a put off. Has everybody got it? If you say yes and don't do, you put it off. Has everybody got it? If you do and don't say yes, you show off. And it's by pride. Because you're doing, but you're not doing it according to the way he's saying to do it. I'm going to go back on this now. So if you say yes and don't do it, you put off, you delay it, and amen? I'll do it later. Yeah. Do you ever get around to someone who says, yeah, I'll do that. And they go away and they don't do it. They just say yes. That's the one that puts off. And then you'll have a person that will do but won't say yes, and they show off. That's called pride. If you say no and don't do it, you turn off. And what do you turn off? The restraints of righteousness. So everybody got it. If you say no and you don't do it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not listening. I'm not saying yes to this. I'm going to do it my way. You are turning off. And what you're actually turning off is the restraints of righteousness. You've let go of the restraints, and you are an open target, and you are literally lost, even though you say you believe. Because the word believe means to follow. If you say yes and do it, you pay off. Has everybody got it? What are you paying off? Well, you're paying off what's due you because you're sowing in the spirit, because you're outrunning some of the reaping. That's where Jesus said, by what? Revelation from me. By revelation from me. You want me to repeat these? If you say yes and don't do it, you put off. If you do and don't say yes, you show off. If you say no and don't do it, you turn off. If you say yes and do it, you pay off. Amen? Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Not only that, there is a payoff because there's a reward by saying yes and doing it. Amen? There's always a reward. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or else excusing them, in a day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemy among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, for the circumcision is deed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if any uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his circumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physical uncircumcision, if he fulfills the law, judge you who are even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. In Romans 7, in Romans chapter 7, in verse 6, Romans 7, 6. Is everybody there? So we have the opportunity to put off, show off, turn off, or pay off. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want the payoff? Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me, though what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer good, I who do it, but sin then dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. He's talking about in his flesh now. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, the presence of evil. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So what's he saying? He said, listen, the only way out of this is to repent. 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 In other words, repent and say yes and do. Does everybody got this? The only way out of this is to say, repent and say yes and do. And are we not, that's why, isn't it where we are coming forth and is that cry from the wilderness saying, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand? Because not only is the kingdom of God at hand for judgment, but we are preparing the way in the return of the Lord. Amen. For his coming. Prepare for his coming and live a life that he is here. Prepare for his coming, but live a life that he is present because he is. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yes and do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Let's read it together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the what? Falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, before we go any further, the falling away has already started. It's been going on. That's why judgment has to come, and that's why it's here now, because it's shaking, and people are running to the old or running to God. Because of the shaking. Has everybody got this? They're running to the old or they're running to God. They're either running to the light or they're running to darkness. And that's called the falling away. And he said the next thing that has to happen is the son of perdition must be revealed and the Lord will come. So we know that the falling away is already happening. Has everybody got it? We're in it. It's happening. Verse 4. It says, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, in other words, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. So that means until we are removed from the planet. The body of Christ will be removed from the planet and all hell will break out. Because there will be no more restraining of evil. So everybody got it. So he's saying, and that's when the son of perdition is revealed, when he exposes himself in the temple in Jerusalem, calls himself God. Verse 8. It says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see that the falling away must take place first, and it's already happening. Because when judgment comes, it begins to shake, and people begin to run to the light or run to darkness. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's why it says here in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will what? Depart from the faith. Why? Because they're going to fall away. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. In other words, they're going to have their own doctrine. They will fall from the faith. And they will follow their own belief system. And they will be about their business instead of kingdom business. Has everybody got it? Because it's going to promote self. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Yes and do. It's just for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn off. Or pay off. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are there perilous times? Yeah. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Why? Because the falling away is going to happen. Lovers of money. Because of what? The falling away is going to happen. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. Why? Because the falling away is going to happen. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In other words, being about self-business instead of kingdom business. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Turn away so you don't get caught up in it. For these are sort who creep into households, ministries, businesses, and make captives of gullible men and women, load them down with sins, presence of evil, and led them away with various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they've accepted a doctrines of demons, which is promoting the desire of a business of self and not kingdom business. And where there's a flawed belief system, there's flawed perception. A person can't see clearly or hear clearly. Amen? It says, and now as Jannes and Jairus resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. He said, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to be in Antioch, at Laodicea and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everyone say yes and do. We are in the falling away. It's already happening. The choice is ours. Amen. We can say yes or do. Or we can put it off. Amen. We can show off. We can turn off. Or we can get the payoff. The choice is ours. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed.